This hour, two very successful women. Later, we will say goodbye to the longtime top producer of this program, Nuala McGovern, when she joins us on the air today to play some instructive clips, we'll call them instructive, from past shows and share what she will call her five secrets to producing a successful talk show. We trust, of course, that you will keep those secrets to yourself. But first, we get the chance to meet Linda Resnick. And if you don't know her name, you probably know her brand. She owns the company Palm Wonderful that makes the pomegranate juice, plus Fiji Water, Teleflora, the Flowers Company, and the Franklin Mint Collectibles Company. Bet you didn't know they were all under the same roof. Linda Resnick is hailed as a marketing genius. She also has a lot to say about politics. She blogs on the Huffington Post. And now Linda Resnick has a book called Rubies in the Orchard, How to Uncover the Hidden Gems in Your Business, complete with tips for marketing your business for the recession. Now, I was in Linda's home last summer in Aspen, Colorado, when we broadcast this program from the Aspen Ideas Festival, and she hosted a reception for presenters, but we did not actually meet. So, Linda Resnick, hello.
And hello.
Thanks for your hospitality last summer, and welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Before we get to pomegranates and Obama and Fiji water, let me ask you to start with the anecdote about the Jackie Kennedy fake pearls. People were skeptical when you bid a lot of money to buy these Jackie Kennedy fake pearls for the Franklin Mint. What were those pearls exactly?
Those were fake pearls. There was a big auction, and there were two huge catalogs full of items that were owned by Jackie Kennedy, who was one of my great heroes in life. And when I looked through the catalogs, the only thing I actually wanted to buy were the pearls, because they were the icon of the icon. She wore them everywhere. She wore them with little John pulling on them on the cover of Time magazine. She wore them at every state dinner. She was so secure in herself that she could wear fake pearls.
And what did you do with the pearls?
Well, we bought the pearls for $211,000.
Whoa, that's one string of pearls.
No, three strands.
Three strands.
But fake.
Fake pearls.
Yes. And then I copied them for the Franklin Mint, which, by the way, we no longer own. So I just wanted to say that. But we did for over 20 years, and it was a great company and fun to work there, I'll tell you.
We being you and your husband, who are in these businesses together, right?
Yes, Stuart and I, right. We're one perfect person, but separately, not so great. So we bought the pearls, and we reproduced them with the 17 coats of lacquer and the sterling silver clasp, and we sold them, quite a few of them. So it was a good investment.
You made copies.
Yes.
Of the fake pearls.
We did. We did. And now the pearls are on view, the real pearls, the real fake pearls, are on view at the Smithsonian because we gave them back to the nation.
And what allowed you to see these fake pearls as an investment worth $260,000 when others were making fun of you?
Well, I guess, the real thing that happened, to be totally truthful, is I'd gone to the Smithsonian a few weeks before, and I'd seen Abraham Lincoln's hat. And when I stood in front of that hat, I felt chills. And I guess it was an awakening for me that if you have a piece of history like that, that it really represents the person and you can feel part of that history. And I think it motivated me to buy the icon of Jackie, which were her pearls.
And I think this also goes to one of your marketing principles, which is to think inside the box.
Absolutely.
What does that mean?
Well, when you're solving a problem, lots of times people hire high-profile celebrities for tens of millions of dollars to sell their product. But really, if your product has intrinsic value, the place to find the answer to your marketing message is inside the box. It's inside the product.
And I don't know if you know the great new media thinker and friend of this program, Douglas Rushkoff.
I don't.
Who wrote a whole marketing book about thinking inside the box.
Oh.
That was actually the title of the book. And I think you've got a similar concept here, which is everybody wants to do something that's so different, that's so, you know, seems so edgy and whatever. But if you look at what the intrinsic value of something really is, then you're going to get right to the genuine worth of things.
Absolutely.
Does thinking inside the box apply to pomegranates too?
Absolutely. The cover of my book is a picture of me with a pomegranate in front of my face. And what I'm trying to say there, of course, it's a copy of a Magritte painting. But what I'm trying to say is the answer to your problem is sometimes right in front of your face and you don't see it.
Until the last few years, pomegranates were a tasty but obscure fruit. How did you get into the pomegranate business?
Well, it was serendipity. We are the largest growers of pistachios in the world, and we were acquiring more pistachio land in 1986. And we acquired 120 acres of pomegranate growing orchards. And some of the farmers wanted to pull the crop, but Stuart said, let's see how it does. Well, 120 acres went to 18,000 because quickly we discovered the medicinal qualities of the pomegranate. The Greeks and Romans and even King Tut took a pomegranate vase into the afterlife. They saw it as a signal of everlasting life, of health. And we did some scientific research at Technion University with a fellow that had done the seminal work on red wine, because dark fruits tend to have a lot of antioxidants, and you need those for health. And we found out that the palm was off the charts, so we kept planting more and more and more. Until today, we have so many trees.
Is it that substance known as resveratrol? Is that what it's called?
That's in grapes.
That's in grapes.
But we are polyphenol antioxidants in pomegranates.
Which are supposed to do the same things.
Well, they don't do the same thing. But what they do is they can help men put off the rise of their PSA. I mean, this is a medical study, and if you go to the website, pomwonderful.com, you can read all of our medical research.
So the medical benefit is mostly for men from drinking palm juice?
It's for women as well, because one of the greatest benefits is that it helps your circulation and reduces plaque in your arteries, and we all can have that at a certain age.
And I know people who drink your palm juice like they're taking vitamins. I mean, they like the taste, but they consider it more like taking a dose of antioxidants, since people medicalize all our food these days. Is that a little over the top, even for you?
No, not for me. People tell me all the time, I'm addicted to your juice. And we love addiction in the product business. It's a very good thing. And to be addicted to something as healthy as palm, that's good.
And you, as you said, pay for health effects research on pomegranate products. But can we believe research that is funded by the manufacturer? You're a political progressive. I know that side of you. So I'm sure you'd look at research that's funded by the drug companies instead of independently on pharmaceutical products and kind of probably, you know, say, I wonder if the money fuels the result. What about in your case?
Well, first of all, we're totally honest about our research. It's all peer-reviewed, and it's at the best universities and scientific centers in the world, from UCLA to Harvard to Cleveland Clinic to the Mayo Clinic. I mean, these are really the top researchers, and we want the truth, and they know that. And these are people that you can't have lie to you. You know, their reputations is much more important than the amount of money that we give them for research.
And the price point. Why is a $4 bottle of palm juice worth it over the $1 grape juice that might have some of, you know, the similar kinds of healthy ingredients?
Well, grape juice is full of sugar, first of all, and it is a different sort of mechanism. And I can't speak to grape juice, but I can certainly speak to palm. There are 4.5 pomegranates in every bottle of palm. And those of you that have bought fresh pomegranates know how expensive they are. They're very hard to grow. They have to be coaxed off the vine, and they have to be pressed with the precision of a Busby Berkeley floor show, with millions of pieces of fruit going through these conveyor belts and being squeezed just properly, not too hard, not too light. And it's just an expensive process to produce pomegranate juice.
Linda Resnick, my guest on WNYC. Her book is called Rubies in the Orchard, How to Uncover the Hidden Gems of Your Business or in Your Business. We'll get to some of her other businesses in a minute and some of her other tips. Her businesses including Fiji Water, formerly the Franklin Mint, and Teleflora. But, you know, you mentioned that you were a big pistachio farmer, and I saw this on your book jacket, that you're the biggest producers in the world, you and your husband, of almonds, clementines and pistachios in addition to pomegranates. Aren't you like a Jewish girl from L.A.?
What did Larry Summers say? Girls can't be farmers. But we are farmers.
I think you left out the farming part. Yeah. Mathematicians, scientists, and farmers. I missed that part.
Right, right. Yes, it's odd, isn't it? But my husband and I started acquiring orange-growing land in the 70s, and we love the farming business. We love being in a business that delivers food to people, healthy food, food that comes in its natural package, which is a very good thing.
And if you want to call in for Linda Resnick, if you're a palm drinker or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. On your blog on Huffington Post, you wrote a piece called How Your Business Can Survive the Economic Collapse. And you said you used to groan when you saw the stock market rising into the stratosphere because you thought it came from reckless spending. And that really, you know, that made my eyebrows go up. Because did a businesswoman and marketer like yourself really groan when the stock market was going up?
Yes. I'm afraid I have a bit of that Cassandra complex, you know, where I see the future but no one believes me. And I really did see that there was no business model to all the horrible things that were going on in the credit market and so forth. And I felt that there was going to be a crash. Of course, I never foresaw the crash that we're in today. But I do feel very strongly that there is this evangelical pessimism that is gripping our country. And I think it's very important for leaders to stay positive. I really do, because people will survive this, and there are things that small businesses can do and large to stay ahead of this curve and come through it.
One is that you advise businesses to pretend that you were just hired to market your product on Mars. Why is Mars a good analogy for the recession?
Well, I don't know Martians personally, but I assume that they're different than we are. And the consumer that we meet today is different than the consumer we knew in September. So markedly different. And I always say one of the best ways to be a good marketer is like being a good friend, to listen. And you have to be understanding of what the American people are going through right now. But if you are, you will tailor your message and tailor your price points and look at your product and make sure it's still relevant to this consumer today.
And what was that you were saying in that Huffington Post blog about reckless spending before the crash? I mean, one thing is when stocks were driving, were going up and up and up. But did you mean the consumers were spending recklessly?
Well, yes. I think that we were led down the primrose path. People bought houses they couldn't afford. They bought cars they couldn't afford. And everyone thought that the economy was going to keep growing, that real estate was going to keep getting better. So people were stuck in a mortgage that they couldn't pay, in a car that they couldn't afford to pay for. And then, of course, we've lost all these jobs and so forth, and it turned.
So as a marketer, do you have mixed feelings? Because the job of the marketer is to get people to spend more on things they don't necessarily need, isn't it?
Well, no, because if people really don't need what you have to sell, I promise you, good times or bad, they won't buy it. And people do need things. I'm lucky I'm in the food business. But our Valentine's Day at Teleflora was up 10%.
Was it really?
Yes, it really was, because we pointed out the unique selling proposition between our flowers and the competition. And we did a Super Bowl ad that was very successful. But when the Super Bowl ad was over, you remembered who the product was, which is one of the good things.
Yeah. But marketers in general, I mean, you know, and again, you have this reputation as a master marketer, a genius of marketing. And maybe you market things that you really believe in, and that's, you know, that's part of who you are. But for marketing in general, don't you think that part of the sickness of the United States in recent years has been that we have been so susceptible to the marketing of things we really don't need?
Well, I guess you could look at it that way, but I don't think that most of the marketers are guilty of that. If people need transportation and they need a car, I mean, people, the advertising that was bad was telling people they could afford to buy a house without anything down. I mean, that's one of the biggest culprits, I'm afraid. But in the food business, in the clothing business, I mean, people have to wear clothes. They need new shoes. you know, it's fine if you have value in what you're selling to tout it to people.
Jim in New Haven has a palm juice question. For Linda Resnick, owner of the Palm Wonderful Company and the author of her new book, Rubies in the Orchard, How to Uncover the Hidden Gems in Your Business. Hello, Jim in New Haven.
Hi. I have one very brief question, which is, whenever I have looked at the palm label, it seemed to me that it was loaded with carbs. And I was wondering, am I reading it right, or if that's a downside of the health benefits, or what? And I'll take the answer offline.
Okay. Linda, I don't know if you were able to hear that call.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
He was asking about the label on pomegranate juice indicating that it's loaded with carbs.
No. The label indicate, well, it has the carbs that would naturally occur in juice. Nothing is added. There is no sugar added. This is merely taking a pomegranate juice and squeezing the juice out of it.
We're going to take a break and fix your headphones because I know you couldn't hear that caller. We're going to take some more callers. And I also want to ask you about how you think Obama is doing. I know you were a big supporter of Barack Obama during the presidential race. I read some of your stuff on Huffington Post during that time, and as a person in business, I'm curious how you think he's doing with the stimulus and the housing fix and the banking fix. And we'll continue with Linda Resnick in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. WNYC with the owner of the Palm Wonderful Company that makes the pomegranate juice plus Fiji water, Teleflora, formerly the Franklin Mint Collectibles Company. She is Linda Resnick, businesswoman and marketer, hailed in many circles as a marketing genius, and she has written a book called Rubies in the Orchard, How to Uncover the Hidden Gems in Your Business. We have a full board of calls for you.
Oh, wow.
So people called before to find out about their credit scores and how to manage their credit scores. People called before to talk about foreclosure and how to avoid foreclosure under the new Obama plan. Now they want to talk to you. So let's see. How about Rosemary in Manhattan? I think this is a Manhattan girl who wants to get into farming. Is that right, Rosemary?
Well, my daughter does. She's now 9 years old, and she has been passionate about farming and has not changed her mind since. So I was wondering, is there any type of farming that you can recommend? Do you foresee anything in the future? Because I thought, why not buy a farm? Do something now, because by the time she gets to college, we probably won't be able to afford that. It will have to be a state school. Let's get a farm, buy something in land as you did. Do you foresee anything in the future, and all like a fruit, a vegetable, as in pomegranate, and geared for the Northeast? And do you take interns so that when she's like, you know, 12, 13, she can intern?
Well, the best... First of all, pomegranates only grow in California and Arizona. So, you know, you have to have the right climate. If you go into farming, tree crops are hardy and they use very few pesticides. So that's a good thing to go into.
Do you foresee any fruit coming up, like pears or apples or anything that hasn't been marketed yet that you foresee in the future it becoming as strong as pomegranate?
No, not necessarily. But I think what you should do, do some research and find out where the nutraceuticals are. Try and see, like, acai, if that would grow anywhere in America. But we are in the San Joaquin Valley, the sunny San Joaquin Valley of California, and we would love to have an intern that was interested in farming. And if she, when the time comes to go to college, Davis in California, part of the UC system, is a fantastic school to learn about farming.
Interesting. Rosemary, thanks a lot. Now, Rosemary, I just got to ask you, you have a daughter in Manhattan who's been
in
interested
Manhattan.
In
yes.
farming and since she was 2 years old.
it won't change. I don't know if you've seen the movie Seven Up. I've been asking her every year, and I'm concerned. She's a farmer. Farm animals, that's it.
Did you have a lot of house plants? Did you keep reading her The Three Little Pigs?
I was in superficial, you know, restaurants. She wants animals and horses and chickens and farms and growing things. So
that's great.
There you
that's
go.
It.
There you go. People are who they are. Good luck, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Use the word nutraceuticals. Nutraceuticals. Is there really such a thing?
Yes. I think so, but I can't give you an actual definition. But it's certainly part of our jargon today, isn't it? I don't mean mine personally, but it's out there.
Pharmaceuticals, but they come from food.
That's right, because I believe that the medicine chest of the 21st century is in the produce department of the supermarket.
Now, you also own Fiji Water.
Yes.
And this is a little more controversial than palm juice because you're environmentally concerned, and bottled water is falling out of favor with many environmentalists because of the plastic and the carbon from shipping the water from Fiji to, say, Brooklyn. Are you conflicted about selling bottled water?
You know, Fiji Water is the best water on the planet. This water has been protected in an underground aquifer for hundreds and hundreds of years before the Industrial Revolution. If there was a place to get it that was closer, we would do it. But what we have done, because we do feel so much that the environment is in jeopardy, and we really do, my husband and I, we have bought back our carbon offsets. So every time you drink a bottle of Fiji, you're giving 20% back to the grid. We've reduced our plastic. We only use biofuels. We go through the Panama Canal with our ships so that we don't have to truck across the United States. And we save the Fijian rainforest, which is something that doesn't count to our carbon offsets. But, you know, Brian, you have to understand something else. We are 3% of the GDP in Fiji, which is the same as Walmart is in the United States. The Fijian people depend on us for their economy. We bring water to hundreds of villages. We build the schools. We build the hospitals. And we do so much for these sort of forgotten people. They live in paradise, but they have a very, very hard life.
Tough article about all bottled water, including Fiji, in Fast Company about a year ago.
Yes.
It said, since the plastic for the bottles is shipped to Fiji first, the bottles journey is even longer than Fiji to the U.S. So you're shipping a gazillion plastic bottles to Fiji and back?
This is absolutely a lie. And he knew it, and I don't know why, but, you know, that's journalism. What can I tell you? We make our own preforms in China, which are all the preforms, and it's the size of the bottle cap. And they come into Fiji, which is very closer than it is to go to Evian or any of these other places. We blow the mold and fill the bottle at the plant. So we're not shipping extra anywhere.
One more call. Deborah in Creskill. You're on WNYC. Deborah.
Hey there. I'm also from L.A. originally. But I have a question about your pomegranate juice, because I still have the juicer that my dad bought me in the 60s, and I make pomegranate juice, and it's this beautiful, gorgeous color. And your juice looks more like grape juice. Have you ever thought to freeze it and sell it that way?
You know, I have thought of freezing it. You mean the way they used to sell orange juice, and they may still sell orange
right.
juice.
Yeah, because it's like
concentrate?
So different when I make it than the way it looks from the way that you sell
but
it.
But people love the color of your juice.
They do. They do. And it's real. You know, it depends on what pomegranates you're using, honey, because they all have a slightly different color, and ours are the wonderful variety. So they're very deep burgundy color.
Palm wonderful doesn't just refer to the fact that you want people to think the product is wonderful.
That's right.
There's a thing called the
wonderful pomegranate.
Like a Macintosh apple.
Yes, exactly.
From Wikipedia, by the way, we looked it up. Nutraceutical, a portmanteau of nutrition and pharmaceutical, refers to the extracts of foods claimed to have a medicinal effect on human health, usually contained in a medicinal format such as a capsule or a tablet or a powder. But you're talking about in actual foods, right?
That's right.
All right. Quick before you go, you were a big supporter of Obama for president. How's he doing, in your opinion, so far at handling the economy?
I love that he is going out and talking to the American people. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the economy. There's a lot of noise on in the media, a lot of negativity from the Republicans, and a lot of negativity from Democrats as well. It's easy to criticize. The point is, he got a stimulus package through. We'll have to wait and see if it actually works. But I say, give the man a chance.
Are you scared as a business person by the amount of government spending and the eventual tax implications?
No. I don't mind paying taxes. I love paying taxes because I love our country, and I think that this is what we have to do. And I also believe the private sector has to step up and do what they can.
Linda Resnick's book is called Rubies in the Orchard, How to Uncover the Hidden Gems in Your Business. This glass of pomegranate juice is for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, kind of a special segment to us here at the Brian Lehrer Show. We will say goodbye to our longtime executive producer, Nuala McGovern, who will step in front of the microphone this time to play some producer's choice excerpts from this show from the last 8 years and with her five secrets for producing a talk show. Just promise not to tell anybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.